Maps of Our Spectacular Bodies by Maddie Mortimer, read by Tamsin Gregg and Lydia Wilson.
Chapter 1. I, itch of ink, think of thing, plucked open at her start, no bigger than a capillary, no wiser than a cantaloupe, and quite optimistic about what my life would come to look like. I have since ached along her edges, delighting in my bare feet floorboard creeps across from where she once would feed down to where her body brews. I have sampled, splintered, leaked and chewed through tissue, nook, bone, crease and node so much, so well, so tough now, that the place feels like my own. It is perhaps inevitable that after all this time I have come to feel a little dissatisfied with the fact of my existence. This is not easy to admit. I suppose one can only be a disaster tourist for so long before the cruel old ennui starts to set in. But the Greek said that in the beginning there was boredom. The gods moulded mankind from its black, lifeless crust, and this is, of course, encouraging. Today I might trace the rungs of her larynx or tap at her trachea, like the bones of a xylophone, or cook up or undo some great horrors of my own, because here is the thing about bodies. They are impossibly easy to prowl without anyone suspecting a thing. Until, of course, they do. And then, of course, they aren't.
The beginning of the end. Leah remembered two things about the beginning of the end. The first, the time it took the traffic lights to change. The second, the fact that nobody died. She was one crossing away from the place she needed to be, the surging rhythm of the city in her pulse, the day tripping quick towards rush hour. Her senses felt unusually alert, nicked wide open by nerves, perhaps. It was nice, a nice change, to feel this exposed, this alive, while standing at a red light waiting for the world to resume itself. A man in a suit that was too small for him sighed heavily and hailed a taxi. Two women spoke loudly on their phones, slices of their conversation burying themselves into the back of her neck. "I told him, I said you can't help how you feel. Booked the 2:30 slot tomorrow. There's some leftover casserole in the fridge you can microwave. No cash, I'm afraid. Won't be late. God, I always feel so bad. Remember to feed the cat." Leah pinched the velvet of her earlobe and thought about tragedy. Which poet was it that said an abiding sense of tragedy can sustain a man through temporary periods of joy? Which philosopher was it that said all tragedies begin with an admirable quiet? Today had been full of clamour. Everyone seemed seconds away from catastrophe. The belt of a woman's coat bounced against her bicycle spokes. Cycling accidents were rising at a steady rate of 15% each year. More than 4,500 resulting in death or serious injury, yesterday's newspaper had read. The city just keeps culling. There is grief on every street, Leah thought, as the plump belly of a toddler emerged at an open window and her eyes flicked down the floors below, counting, jaw tight, as the toddler leant its milk-white head out in delight, resting its tiny fingers on the ledge. Four floors. The fall was four floors down. Fluorine is pale yellow, chlorine is yellow-green, and bromine is red-brown. A girl in a blue school uniform began lecturing her friend loudly on the subject of elements. "The halogens get darker as you go down, see?" Leah noticed the girl had thick, straight lashes that interlaced as she blinked, and a profile of rare, youthful prettiness, the kind that stood out amongst the mass of waiting faces, growing impatient at the crossing. And it was always so hard, she thought, so hard not to get distracted.